Father, we come to you again this morning and thank thee for the death of our soul for another day. Lord, there were some who were alive to yesterday in eternity today. And there's others who God has blessed should be in church and should not. Then there are those who just are not able to come. And we thank you for the privilege, though, to be in the house of God this day. Now, I ask that you'd bless as we open this precious book again. Give us understanding, not only to understand truth, but to make it applicable in our lives, that we may read the times that we're in and understand the prophecy that God has set forth about these times, that we may look daily for the return of our Lord. I pray the day we leave the house of God and said, I'm glad I went. I didn't feel like it. The flesh was weak this morning. I had to kind of drag it here to church, but I'm so glad I went. May that be that blessing that would come, especially because there are those who've made the effort to be here today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy with me. And I want to speak on something today I believe is very much necessary for our day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm old enough now to go back and evaluate some times. I know it's hard to believe, but when I was born, I don't know if anybody had a television. In fact, I don't think anybody did, unless it was in some cities we didn't know about. If they did, it was so crude, it probably took a wall to be able to see it, so big. And I remember we did have a radio. And I can remember as a boy, and I want to lead this into the introduction, because I believe that I have a valuation of life that God has given from the Scriptures to understand why I know we're living in the last days today, and why we should be looking for towards the eastern sky for the Lord to return. And the reason for that is, in those early days, you heard me say that after the Depression, I was a blessing to my family. And when I was a boy coming up, we didn't have television, we didn't have radio. But I know this, we had truth too. And I'll tell you the reason why, because anywhere you went in my hometown or anywhere else, they knew where, you didn't see alcohol flowing up down the street in those days, because it was not there. You had to bootleg it if you got it. You didn't see X-rated movies and everything else in those particular days. I don't know if they even had them or not. Never saw them if they did in those days. They may have some. You could go to a juke joint somewhere or another. Well, there wasn't nothing around where we lived at, so I didn't know about the juke joints. I didn't know there's a red light district, but that's Wilbur and Fedville. Now, as a boy, that was a long ways from home. And we knew what a red light district was. So did everybody else. We knew what alcohol was, but it wasn't flowing. I know what on radio, FCC wouldn't allow you to use vulgarity on a radio. By the way, when you come along the end of the 40s and early 50s, and during the 50s, when you had television coming, they wouldn't allow vulgarity on television either. They wouldn't allow scenes that you could see of the body in certain ways either. So I'm telling you that there is a time that when truth mainly governed the way people looked at life. Oh yes, we had sin. We had people who, I remember the first time I heard tell of a murder in the town that in Vincent I was raised in. I remember sitting on the page and talked to my dad about that. Someone had killed a woman in a raid somewhere or another. And that man was on front page, big page lines. Now, you know, murder's on the back page if you can even find it. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that there's a time that truth did govern morality and things in life, though there was sin. But something happened in our age. Along about the end of the 40s and early 50s, we began to have television, and it was very close, and even morality could be seen in those days to some degree, because society practiced many things. They may not have believed it, but they practiced it. They practiced it foremost because they believed the youth need to see that. Even in the 50s, back before then, when you had your graduation, a preacher came and brought a message to the public school and preached to the kids at graduation. Amen. That's not allowed today. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying truth has a way of affecting society, and so Satan has tried hard for years and years and years to do away with truth, and he's had pockets of it in the world, and certainly in places where idolatry was practiced, but in a country like ours where truth was started out in the basics to form a government, it did affect how people lived. And it did affect, at least in society, what you saw, even though you knew sin was around. But when you get to the late 50s and early 60s and into the 60s, we saw a change. There came a change called as modernism, liberalism. It's always been a trace of that, but not like it is now. Because in the 60s, the latter part of the 60s and into the 70s, modernism began to come in. And people began to deny the scriptures, and they took it out of the school, and prayer couldn't be done. And I thank God I graduated before that happened. My teachers, I don't hardly remember any teacher we didn't have prayer, and a number of the teachers read the Bible every Sunday, every day in school. In fact, sometimes I haven't got a Bible I kept for years. You've heard me say my teacher in the fourth grade gave me because I read it through in 1 year. Read the Bible through in a year. She'd give it out if you promised to do that. What I'm saying is there came a time of modernism. They began to rewrite the scriptures. It didn't fit like it should. And so now they began to learn through educational process, because there was a time if you got a high school education, they thought you were doing good. Back before the 20th century, not too many people had a high school education. But then you get a high school education. That was good. It was forced to do that. Then they came to, you know, you had to have a college education. And people started going to college. And now, you know, it's even advanced beyond that. But what's happened, there has been a trend to deny the scriptures by getting rid of it or rewriting it. And then we come to a period of time, and I think I'm pretty accurate in looking at, somewhere in the 80s and early 90s or during the 90s, that we went through what is called a postmodern time. Now, modern is ideas and beliefs, standards, and contemporary trends that changes away from truth. Postmodernism, post simply means after. After in time and space. We began to move and change things completely where people were not afraid to come out and go against Christianity. They weren't afraid. Began, you see, in the internet and see in the television and modern day technology. Now, they're not even afraid to use God's name in vain. They used to blot it out. They began to not do that now. And now you see it in postmodernism that's worse than modernism. And now, at the end of the 20th century, into the 21st century, we got extreme leniency. Anything can go. And you better not say anything about it from a Christian standpoint, or you can be charged with a hate crime. Now, what you're saying, preacher, I'm saying the Bible is showing us that when you get to the place of extreme lenityism, the Lord's going to come back. And we're there, folks. It ain't long. I'll tell you, that's not good English, but it's sure good grammar. Amen. If you look with me in the book of it, start with in Genesis. And I want to read. I'm giving these verses, and I've got to hurry because I realize the time has gone by and we want to get out before 1 o'clock. But look in Genesis. And look about chapter 6. You remember before the flood came. While you're turning there, may I read to you a verse of scripture in Matthew, and you read it later in chapter 24. Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." How was it in Noah's day? It was extreme linearism. Anything went. And God evaluated that time, and God saw in verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts in the plural of his heart was only evil continually. And you look today around you, anything on television worth looking at, they're not going to show it. You know why? We get bored as humanity. Unless it gets worse and worse. The flesh enjoys to wallow in that which gets worse and worse, especially if it satisfies the flesh. And we're at that point today that Satan learned if you get people who make the laws, you can have a majority against something. Though public opinion can certainly keep laws sometimes from being enforced. But if you got a small group make laws, once the laws are made, you have to go into it or you may suffer the consequence. Even if you're a child of God. Now I want to come back to 1 Timothy and we'll pick up. And my subject is the postmodern world that we're living in today. Postmodern world. If you look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and down verse 14, Paul said, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church. Now, watch. He said, I wrote these things to you mainly that you might know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the, what is that word? Church. And then he says, of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Isn't it interesting? Why just did that? Well, come in here and be something and go outside. No, God has said, if you listen to the instruction I give you how to behave yourself in the house of God, then you won't have no trouble behaving yourself when you get out there in that world. But if you can't behave yourself in the house of God, you have trouble in the world. So what has happened in this last state of postmodernism and extreme leniency is that the world has been coming into the church rather than the church being what it ought to, how to behave itself and to go to the world and be the example. Say amen now. This is where we're at in our lifespan of living today. And it's a sign. The only thing going to change that is the Word of God. And it's got to the place now that the Word of God has been so belittled and watered down that only Jesus Christ is going to come back. And by the way, they can walk away from me. They walk away from you, but they're not being able to walk away from Him. They deny me and laugh at me and laugh at you and us, but they'll not be able to laugh at Him, for He will have the last words. Then I come to chapter 6 to see what I'm talking about. He gives a lot of things in here about life and practical living and so forth. But in chapter 6, he said, Let as many servants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of the honor, that the name of God and His doctrine not be blasphemed. And they that have believed in master, let them not despise them because they are brethren. It's an amazing thing. God has said, you're going to have some times where that you'll be in the church, you're a brother in Christ and your brothers and sister. But when you go back to the world, you may have someone over you who is your boss. That's like a master. And when that happens, he said, you need to show respect for that. Because the position puts him in a place higher. And would you believe that this is an era where God sets instructions to? Notice what he says. He says, God and his doctrine not be blasphemed. And let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Then notice he says, if any man teach otherwise, he says, consent not to wholesome words. They don't consent to wholesome words. Even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness, he is proud. That person who does that is proud. Knowing nothing but doting about questions, that has been sick questions of asked and so forth, and strive in words, whereof come envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, that's evil thinking, perverse disputed of men of corrupt minds and destituted, that is, they rob. The word destitute means rob of the truth. And he says, supposing that gain is godliness, from such we draw ourselves. But godliness and contentment is great gain. Contentment means satisfaction. Godliness and satisfaction is great gain. When you're talking about supposing the gain in godliness, and back in verse 5, is someone professing to be a Christian, following faith just as a religious business, using it as a kind of a cloak to get rich on. Now, these are some things that Paul said. And by the way, this has happened in the postmodern. Hey, what other time you seen religion where they're talking about just give to a cause you got and got to double it or 100, give you 100-fold? What is it today that people get rich over religion? Because it's a tactic that's used to promote in and everything except truth. Now, when I think about the postmodern world, Paul said, I wrote to you that you might... show you how you ought to behave thyself in the house of God. Today, it is nothing. And if you're doing anything witness, you'll know this. Today, it is nothing for someone to say, keep your beliefs to yourself. Don't bring your belief to me. Well, folks, if you're saved, you can't help but want to see someone get what you want and what you've got. You can't help it. I mean, literally, because you can't help it. What we have is so good, we want others to have it, and God has ordained us to go into the world and give the gospel out. Not coerce, not try to browbeat, but give the gospel out. These people are antagonistic to Christianity. Someone made the statement, there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us, it's hard to tell which one of us can reform the rest of us. That's just about the way we are in this particular life. Another person said, let a pig and a boy have everything they want, and you'll get a good pig and a bad boy. That says something else about creation, isn't it? A pig knows when he's fed the slops the best. Amen. Sometimes when you give the best to the boy, that's just the term, could be the girl too, I guess, in our particular day. You know, when people before get large inheritance and be gone in just a matter of time because they didn't use it wisely. We live in a postmodern world today. That means this is our culture that we're living in. And did you know most people can't even read it? And you say, yeah, we're looking for the Lord, but why? Well, I'm telling you why. We live in a postmodern world that's moved not only from truth to modernism, liberalism, postmodernism, afterward, and now we're in extreme leniency. Anything goes that's wrong, don't say nothing about it. Don't say nothing about it. And God tells us, hey, we may be hindered to say some things about it by word, but God wants our life to practice not only what we say. Some people want to talk word, not practice life. The two go together. Modernism and postmodernism are not friends to Christianity. They're friends to religion, but not Christianity. Did you hear what I said? I'm going over your heads this morning. I can see it already. What is he talking about? Good gracious. Never heard of this before. Yes, you have. You're living in it whether you heard of it or not. When you think about these things. A few years ago, you could tell where a modern person stood religiously. You knew doctrinally where they stood at. Not so with a postmodern person. A postmodern person would talk the same language as you are, but there's no practice in their life. You don't see one thing backs up what they say. That's postmodernism. That's right at the point if they've not got yet to extreme leniency in the sense that anything may go. Postmodernism is a collection of different thinking about life, about this world, about experiences, about belief. The pendulum has swung from truth to modernism to postmodernism now to extreme leniency. Existence is explained through the lens of one's own existence and experiences in life. And the results have been this. They believe that there is no objective truth. They believe that there is no objective truth in life and therefore that where you can discover life. Objective truth means they don't believe there's no such a thing as real, actual, true truth. It's in the eye of the beholder. It's how one looks at truth. But I say to you, there is. The result is that they don't believe there's no objective truth. They believe no one who says we have found the answer of life. When you begin to talk about having the answer of life and Jesus' answer, they'll come back to you and say, hey, you're not going to control my mind. That's mind controlling. That's all. Religiously, you're trying to control my mind. You hear it all the time. They say that the Bible is not the final authority to interpret life. They say that writings are meant to be individual, to be individually interpreted, not the way we do it today, but they're not to be individually interpreted. No individual has a right to interpret the Bible just like they want it to interpret it. And I agree, but I'll tell you this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 said, no prophet is a private interpretation. The writings are meant, they say, to be individually interpreted. Let me get it back right. They say that the Bible is not the final interpretation to authority to interpretation in life. And then they say that writings are meant to be individually interpreted by individuals, not by what someone says that God says. Because we believe God says one thing, you believe God says something else. But the Bible does say no prophecy is a private interpretation in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. They say that what was intended for the past is not necessarily intended for today. Words are changed out of context to fit where one wants it to be rather than what God directs them to be. And that's where we're at today. You got a lot of folks who, I believe in God, but they're changing everything to be where they're at. Find a little place, and you got a little plot here, and 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 the same word, it means something to them, means something to them, means something to them, means something to them. That's not the way God works. If it's truth, it's truth. You can have a lot of error, but you can't have but one truth. And we're living in that age today. So there is acceleration and a breath of the postmodern mood today. There's acceleration in rebellion. There's acceleration in individualism. There's acceleration in moral relativism. This is added by TV. This is also aided by the internet to become independent of everybody else. Each person, they say, stands alone for truth and morality in their own eyes. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12, Solomon said, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and is yet not washed from their filthiness." The Bible says in Judges 17, verse 6, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but everyone did that which was right in his own eyes." Every person stands alone for truth and morality. Now, we know that people will not agree about everything. You know why I know that? You know why you should know that? Because this is because God has given us freedom of conscience before God. Yes, we do have the freedom to interpret the Bible. Yes, we do have the freedom to believe what we think is best. But we must always answer ultimate to God for how we handle His Word. And that's a fear for a God-fearing child of God. He's not going to handle it just to fit his situation. He's going to handle it for direction, that God can direct him or her in that situation. Again, this should concern the believer more than trying to please those who think that we could come together ecumenical in unity at any price. Today's age, we have this mentality in the postmodern and the extreme leniency. We have this type of mentality. This is for you mentality. You hear that? And God may exist for you, but I don't mean He's got to exist for me. Well, if God exists at all, He better exist for you, to see how you're going to stand before Him one day. Well, the Bible may be the Word of God for you, but that doesn't mean it's for me. I have my own thinking. Jesus may be the only way to you, but that don't mean He's my only way. What makes you any different than me? I have my way, you have your way. Jesus, your way, good, enjoy it. But that don't make Him my way. If you ever get the way, it'll be His way. Well, the Bible declares that, folks. Jesus Himself had the right to say, because who He was, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father by me." If He's not that way, He lied, and Jesus is not a liar. No guile is found in His mouth whatsoever. Someone said, "Well, sex outside of marriage may be wrong for you, but not for me. Get out of the dark age and come to the bright age." Yeah, that's bright, all right, isn't it? What I'm saying to you, so what happens is this. Truth collapses into the individual person. They say truth is too divisive. It's like doctrine. We don't like divisive things. We want unity. You can't have unity when you have the Word of God, because it's truth, unless you follow truth. That's the only way you can have unity, is following truth. So these radical views explode all over our traditions, all over our values, all over our behavior, all over our belief. Truth causes battle lines to be drawn against worldly unity. Folks, if you believe truth, it's going to draw a battle line for you. It's going to draw a standard for you. Truth can't be anything else but truth. You can't mix it with anything else at all. The bottom line is, then the question, does objective truth exist today? What about it, preacher? Does objective, actual, real truth exist today? Yes. Well, if it does, can we know it? Yes. God communicates it in His Word. Either God is God or He's not. God has communicated it to us. But today, truth is used in a variety of ways. All the stars got truth. Nobody agrees. Let me read this. Let me get this last week. I've been working on this for a few weeks now. And this is called, this cut this out of a magazine. This is called Truth in Question. In case there's any doubt, our pluralistic society encourages everyone to participate in the ever-widening conversation of what truth is, how it can be known. Contemporary philosophers, pop culture icons, and talk show hosts all feel the freedom to weigh in on our truth debate. Well, let's read a few of these. This is George Lucas. You know who he is? Yeah, he's a big California and Hollywood producer, I guess, director or something. Here's what he says. Ultimately, the force is the larger mystery of the universe. The force? What is the force? It could be anything. You say, well, isn't God for? Hey, He's the great force. But listen, His name's on His. The force? What is the force? A ball somewhere or another generating energy? Has no life? He goes on, and to trust your feelings is your way to that force. Trust your feelings. If I understand right, God said your flesh is depraved. Nothing good in it at all. Then you know what your feeling is going to do without God? Do exactly what it likes to do, the enjoys of the flesh. You know why some people wallow in it? Because they don't know the Lord Jesus. He changes things, folks. He changes things, that's true. Oh, what about, here's a fellow, I don't know who he is. His name is Eckhart Tolle, T-O-L-L-E. He says, true salvation is freedom from negativity and above all from past and future as a psychological need. No, true salvation is a spiritual need. You just can't be a void of negativism and think you're going to have salvation. You quit. You say, I'm going to be positive the rest of my life. Well, if you're really positive, you'll trust the Lord because He's the beginning of such things. But if you're not, then you'll be negative. No, you'll be negative and not want to be. Don't be ask your husband or wife. Amen. Stephen King. Oh, he ought to have it, hasn't he? He's got a great imagination. Listen to what he said. The beauty of religion, manna, is that it has the power to explain everything once God or Satan accepts as the first call. God, he can't decide whether it's Satan or God who calls the first cause. He goes on, he says, first cause everything which happens in the mortal world, nothing is left to chance. Logic can be happily tossed out the window. But who is the supreme being? God or Satan? Oh, Gandhi, how about him? He says the virus, and I'm just reading a quote. Hey, I didn't write this. It's a magazine article. You had to pay to get it. I don't know how I got it. I didn't pay for it, but I cut it out. Amen. It says the virus religions are like different roads converging on the same point. What difference does it make if we follow different routes, provided we arrive at the same destination? It makes a lot of difference because I'll tell you, there's only one way to God through Jesus Christ. He also said, truth resides in every human heart, and one has to search for it there and be guided by truth as one sees it, but no one has a right to coerce others to act according to their view of truth. But if truth is absolute and real, and you speak it, it don't change. It don't change. If it's absolute, you don't coerce. Isn't it amazing? You can speak the truth as absolute, and they think you're coercing them. You're forcing them. You go, soul went in and just out of love tried to save someone how to be saved. You're forcing them. You're pushing. Isn't it amazing? You can talk about any other religion in the world and they laugh and joke, but you talk about Christ, they get upset. Must be power in that name, amen. Amen. And of course, hey, what about Madonna? Boy, she's got it together, hasn't she? She's got it together. I want you to know. Listen to what she said. She said, Kabbalah. Kabbalah? I had to look that word up. That's not even an editor person's name. It means an occult philosophy. That's a big subject. Kabbalah helped me understand that there's a bigger picture and that being well intentioned is great, but if you don't live your life according to the laws of the universe, you bring chaos into your life. Laws of the universe? Did you not know that God's laws are the one that really work? And she also said this, watch. She said, if Scientology makes Tom Cruise happy, I don't care if he prays to a turtle. I don't think anybody else should. Well, I don't care either if he wants to, but I sure would like to see him pray to God through Jesus Christ. But I'd like to see. And then Oprah Winfrey, boy, she's got her own religion going now. And she said, follow your instincts. She said, that's where true wisdom manifests itself. You follow your depraved instinct and it'll send you straight to hell. I'll tell you that. And then Howard Stern. Boy, I want to hear what he has to say, don't you? Ungodly man. I want to hear what he's got to say Howard Stern. Here's what I expect him to say something like this. Listen to what he had to say. Here's what happened when you die. You sit in a box and get eaten by worms, and I guarantee when you die, nothing cool is going to happen. Nothing cool is going to happen to him, I guarantee.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, folks, these are the ones who are in the postmodern era are describing truth. And millions are believing, though they may not be exactly in the field with them. And we come along and say, this is truth, and they laugh at us. They mock at us. They mock to us in our particular day. Truth, in reality, truth is the self-expression of Almighty God. 2 points quickly, and I'm going to, call McDonald's telling you'll be a little bit late. Listen, if I've got to give this to you folks, I'll do it quickly. We must not compromise God's word, number one. We must not. God backs his written word, whether one accepts it or not. God's word does not change due to practice or philosophical changes in society. Truth is to be communicated by our words, and watch this, our lives. Words alone is not enough. Truth must be known. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth must be obeyed. Read Colossians 1:5-6. Truth must be understood. Read Colossians 1:5-6. Truth must be obeyed. Read 1 Peter 1:22. Truth must be loved. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, they perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Truth must be believed. To communicate it, you have to know it, understand it, obey it, love it, and believe it. 1 Peter 3:15 anticipates a postmodern world. You go read that. It tells you how to prepare to give an answer to the questions that you ask about your faith in the Lord. And you ought to be able to give a sensible, educated answer that God can honor and bless about being saved. And tell how it happened, what took place in your life. Life lived on a horizontal level is enjoyable for a period of time, but it ends up empty and never satisfies our deepest needs in life without the true God. Ladies and gentlemen, even people who achieve fame and glory in this life usually end up lonely and unfulfilled. Why? Because only Jesus Christ can help us with our struggles. Only Christ can help us with our doubts and our fears and our failures. Only God's grace and Christ's blood can deal with that for us. As we trust Him in this life, God has revealed much through His Word, but He's also left a lot not revealed as of yet. In Deuteronomy 29, I'll read for you. He says in verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children that forever, that we may do all the words of the law. He said there's things belong to God only, but there's things God has revealed that we may give to our children and others. They may know what God intends for us to be and do in this particular life. John 16, and you see in verse 13, he talks about this, howbeit when the Spirit truth is come, he will guide you into all things, that he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall speak, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. 1 Corinthians 2:10-13 talks about how he reveals things to us that are spiritual, the deep things of God. In 1 John 5:13, he tells us, and I'm having to give you these fast because I realize I hear some stomachs growling, amen? So I want to give it to you fast. Look with me in 1 John, if you will, and verse 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. The Bible is not just a collection of human perceptions about God. It's not a human perception that this man can look at him a certain way and say, this is God. This man looking at him, oh, this is God. I tell you what, we all believe in perception about God in a different way, but let's lay the boundaries down and have unity. And you can't have that with truth. I'm sorry. You got to understand some things about Bible truth. When Jesus was here, he didn't say, all right, scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, come on together. I know we just, but let's see if we can't have a meeting and come to some mutual ground. No. He said, Matthew, wow, unto you, scribes and Pharisees. That's our Savior talking. Hey, that's our loving, gracious, wonderful Savior talking. That's that little baby that was in the manger that was born on that Christmas night as we relate to talking to those people 33 years later. You see what I'm saying? It don't make us arrogant, though the world will say that. It makes us loving. You think the Lord didn't love those people when He cried out woe to them? See, we got it all messed up in this leniency age we're living in today. It's the absolute. The Bible, again, I said, is not a collection of perceptions of God. the Bible is the absolute Word of God to human beings, we must not compromise it. The second thing, what are we to do then? We must not retreat into the safety and security of the Christian subculture of these walls like this, leaving a generation out there unexposed to what Bible truth is. I pray. Some of these boys and girls coming on the bus and those in these places and teach who are been taught the Word of God, when they get to be adult, they remember there's somebody who believed in absolute truth and refer them to the Bible so they can go. Because if they go back to the Bible, they'll have the truth that they heard about while they were young. It does not change. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if God to tell the last generation something and then tell us something else? And we, who are you going to believe? I'm glad He says, I am live forever, and He changes not. What He says is true. The evidence of our faith demands a vertical approach of our lives. I was interviewed this past week for 2 hours from a survey group of national thing about our church. And I made a statement. The young fellow says, amazed. And he believed this statement too. I said, did you know church growth cannot be equated to church health? You can't look at a bank of church of thousands of members and say that's a healthy church. Yet you can look at a little small congregation in the boondocks of the hills, wherever they're at, who love God, 25, 30 people, and have a healthy church if they're right with God. We're measuring everything now in the wrong way. I can be right with God if nobody else is. And yet everybody else could be right with God, and I may not be if we're not following the same thing. We must be faithful, intelligently communicating God's unchanging message to a new generation. The gospel is already relevant for those who are blessed by God. Each church that Paul started, they had to answer to God for themselves. And so will we one day. God used Paul to lay out His instructions to them. Bible believers must never downplay doctrinal difference in favor of love and unity. Amos 3 said, can two walk together except they agree? If you look in 1 Timothy, Timothy hit this hard, what Paul did to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look in verse 3. I'm going to read something quickly for you and I'm close. As I besought thee to abide in all as still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrines. In verse 9 he said, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly. See, the law can't do a thing in the world for a righteous man if he keeps the law. You can't even reward him for it. God can, but the law can't. But he said, law is written for the unrighteous. And listen, he lists these disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, and the holy profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayer, for whoremongers. Boy, everybody likes verse 9, don't like verse 10. For them that defile themselves with mankind. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured person. And watch this. And he didn't have enough time to write at all. So he said, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And most people don't even know what sound doctrine is. Chapter 4. In verse 1, Paul says also, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that at the latter time some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In verse 16, he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrines continued in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that heard thee. Chapter 6, in verse 3, we come back to our text. He said, if any man teach otherwise, he consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, even the words, wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You better not deny him. Paul said, and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness. Verse 5, perverse disputing for men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. He said, robbing of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Ladies and gentlemen, I say to you again, I close. There's a time. If you lived in that age, many of you who are older realize we knew sin was around. We knew there was things that had done wrong. But society as a whole, because truth manifested itself, societies kept things in line. And it's had up to the early 1940s. 50s came along. We began to really grow and get things that we never had before. We have more things now than our forefathers, our mothers and dad ever thought of having. And then all of a sudden, in the 60s, things began to change. The word began to toss out, deny it, get out of school. You can say what you want to about that, but in those 60s, a lot of things began to change in the modern liberal way. Even the Word of God began to be changed. Number one, now you got everybody's got 15 different copies and sitting in one church. How confusing can that be? 15 different copies sitting in one church and another guy reading a copy that nobody else has got. It's got to be confusing, folks. Then there's the postmodern age, which we've seen and just come through at the turn of this last century. That is, now anything goes. Anything goes. Hey, you mark it down. It won't be long before now. Now they begin to do it a little bit here and there in pot shot. It won't be long. You won't have to go to the X-rated channel to see new people. It'll be right on the regular channels. Mark it down. When sin starts going, man who's in charge of those things, no, we get bored fast. And we get bored. We're not going to buy and look at television. And when people can get advertisers on that thing and all of a sudden begin to get money out of it, then they want us to get out of the boring stage of something new. If someone had said to my granddaddy years ago that you see things on television, in fact, but they didn't have one to start with, he didn't believe what such a thing when I first told him I heard about television. My granddaddy Barford said, so don't let them warp your mind. They didn't know such a thing as that. And he believed that. But he had one before he died. But you couldn't hardly see the thing. About that big around, black, white. He had to shut one eye to even look at it just about. But he had one. And if he saw what's on that box today, compared to what it was then, he wouldn't have believed it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, folks, the reason it's time for the Lord to come back is because we're not just in the modern age or postmodern. We're in the extreme leniency where anything goes. And we get so far there that when they begin to make laws in a Christian country that bans what God says do, and God's choice people like us began to be harassed and put in jail because we simply give the blessed gospel message to a lost world, the Savior's going to do like He did Stephen one of these days. He's going to look over and He said, it's time, Cable, blow the trumpet, I'm going to take my children home. It's going to happen. It may not be in my lifetime, but it's close. It's going to happen. Are you saved? If you're not saved, please don't listen to all this rhetoric that's going on around the world, denying everything about God. Listen to the simple truth. God so loved you, which is part of the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that you could have eternal life. I'm talking about you. So when I listen to my radio in a few minutes, who's listening? If you're not saved, He's talking to you. It's simple. It costs God everything, but He gives it to us. Instead, if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe that. And we encourage you to look at the truth. Look at the facts. And let the Holy Spirit do what He was sent to do. And convict your heart like it did mine, like it did many of these in here. And draw you to the Lamb of God that John the Baptist was talking about in John. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what we cry. Well, that makes you a divisive person. Because you believe Buddha is wrong. You believe Confucius is wrong. You believe, yes. I'm sorry. I do. And I have just as much right to say that as for them to say they believe that we are wrong. Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, honor the Savior. Lord, I have no wounds to pick. I have no reason. Lord, if I did what I want to do, I wouldn't preach another message. I wouldn't. Like Jeremiah, I just wouldn't do it. But I know, like Jeremiah also, it burns in my bone. I can't explain it. And Father, I realize now in this age we're living in, there's more hatred, there's more resistance, more denying of what I've just preached than there's ever been in history. No longer do we have the morals of society which press and suppress down that which is evil and wrong. But the Word of God is the same. Please protect this place. Lord, there's more love in our little finger than most people and the whole body when we tell people the truth. And Father, I believe when I say and quote what Jesus said when He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life,
no man come to the Father but by me. I believe that. And I pray somehow or another you let me, through the enlightenment of knowledge, open the knowledgeable door to someone's heart. Well, you'd be able to do that, because it's knowledge and words that we use as a vehicle for you to bless. That it'd be another person would say, you know, I can understand that. If it's truth, it's truth. And when I look at this world, everybody can't be saying the truth, because it's so divisive. So it is so separated, and yet they're talking about coming together in unity. Well, we know this is lit. This is setting the pace for the Antichrist, because he will unify people, not only economically, religiously, politically. All of those things are going to happen. And Father, the puzzle has been put together right now for the final day. We're not said to be next week, next month, next year, but it's been put together for the final day. It won't be long. We're going to see you. Help us in this hour to present the word the best of our ability. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.